On a Monday, it's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. On this Monday's Your Health, we'll hear about the link between obesity and rheumatoid arthritis. Let's begin with a different kind of pain. Millions of Americans suffer from migraines, some so disabling people are forced to stay home from work and miss social events and family gatherings. Many sufferers don't know that there are treatments and also ways to prevent migraines. NPR's Patty Namet has that story.
For Allison Kammerman, the headaches started in her early 20s, and once they did, she got them every day, starting early in the morning when she woke up.
It's a pounding headache. You know, it would start and then just increase with in terms of the magnitude of the strength of the headache.
It lasted all day. She relied on over-the-counter pain medications, but the headaches just kept getting worse, and some days they were completely disabling.
I would get nauseous, you know, to the point where I couldn't function at that point, and I'd have to basically be off my feet, lying down.
Like many people, Kammerman thought they were really just bad headaches, until her doctor referred her to UCLA neurologist Dr. Charles Flippin. Flippin says Kammerman's reaction is pretty typical.
Everyone says, oh, well, everyone has headaches, and so they just sort of push through or suffer in silence.
But they don't have to, he says. Nearly 40% of those who suffer from migraines can be helped by medications to prevent the headaches. Many can reduce the number of migraines by half.
For a given patient, half is usually a significant improvement. If you go from 15 headache days per month down to 7, that's a significant change.
Flippin diagnosed Allison Kammerman with migraines 5 years ago. He offered her a choice of treatments that are usually used to treat other conditions, but have also been shown to reduce the frequency and severity of migraines. High blood pressure medication, particularly beta blockers, work for certain patients. For others, anti-seizure drugs help. Some patients benefit from Botox injections, and for Kammerman, an antidepressant worked.
I'm not getting them every day. When I was on no medication at all, I was getting them every day, and severely every day. Now it's less severely.
But even the best preventive treatments aren't cures, and patients can still suffer the pain, nausea, and debilitation of migraines. When this happens, Flippin says, the drug of choice is a class of medications called triptans, which relieve pain, nausea, and sensitivity to light and sound associated with migraines.
They target serotonin receptors. They are serotonin, what we call agonist or activators, and are probably the biggest advance in migraine treatment in the last quarter century.
Triptans come in pill form, nasal spray, or an injection. They're effective and quick, says Flippin. Unfortunately, 1 in 5 patients don't respond to them. These are typically people with heart disease or diabetes, and for them, Flippin says, there are combination medications that include anti-inflammatories and mild sedatives. But the mandate for all patients: reduce the number of migraines.
Migraines beget more migraines.
Dr. Andrew Charles, also a neurologist at UCLA, is director of the Headache Research and Treatment Program. It's not clear why, but the more migraines a patient gets, the more susceptible they become to having more.
There's this, seems to be this sort of tipping point where patients, you know, go from having episodic headaches to having them really continuously, and being into the kind of state of constant sensory sensitivity.
Which is why it's so important not to dismiss chronic severe headaches as just something to suffer through. Getting to the doctor, getting diagnosed, and treatment if necessary is essential. Now, there's even some better news. At UCLA's headache lab, researchers like Charles Flippin are investigating a treatment that might someday become a cure.
We're looking at using low-level electrical currents to stimulate peripheral nerves, so the nerves that come out to your face and to the head, the surface of the head, and that stimulation feeding back to where those nerves originate in the brain and altering the workings of the networks within the brain in order to interrupt the pain transmission.
It's called neuromodulation, and the hope is that it will change how the brain responds to pain. It's an extraordinarily promising therapy, says Flippin, but lots more research is needed, and that could take up to 10 years. Patty Namond, NPR News, Los Angeles.